Welcome to episode 77 of the Recruit Grind. I haven't done a true intro in a while, so really quick, if you're new to listening to the podcast, we talk all things recruiting for high school players trying to make it to the next level. And it's not just support for the players. It's support for coaches. It's support for counselors. It's support for parents. And it's me talking through all the things that I learned in my many years of college athletics and just sharing them in hopes to help you along your crazy recruit grind. That's why we call it the Recruit Grind. So please take a moment, if you don't mind, and head over to your social media channels. Instagram is probably where we're most heavily putting things. With Instagram, Twitter, now X, and TikTok as well, even on Threads, if you're on Threads. And check out at the Recruit Grind is our handle. All of our episodes, plus many more tips that are dropped into those profiles on a regular basis. And if you want to watch the full episodes via video, which can be helpful because sometimes we put up some visuals to help you out as well, go check it out on athletes.tv. It's not .com, it's athletes.tv. It's super simple to find. And yeah, best way to get a hold of us is literally through those social media channels. So do yourself a favor and make sure you're following us on those. And if you haven't done so already, do yourself another big favor and go sign up for the Recruit Grind Combine. The first one is in under 2 weeks now, and it's in Logan, Utah. It's on the 27th. We're going to registration starting at 8:30, and registration will go to 10, and we'll have a right on the dot start, and we're going to be rolling. I am stoked to see all these young athletes come compete. It's going to be awesome. Go to www.recruitgrind.com to sign up. It's only $75. Still only $75. If you wait to the day of, it's going to be $100 at the door. And that's because it takes us a lot more money and resources to get everything last minute. So do yourself a favor, sign up now before the price goes up at the door. So there are several episodes that I actually put together that answer a lot of questions. Literally the last episode that we did, number 76, is full of information of answering questions about that combine. But if you have any particular questions, just message us through Instagram is the best way to get a hold of us. But any of the social media platforms is the quickest and best way to get a hold of us. So that all said, today's episode is one I'm actually very passionate about. I put a reel out a few days ago that was with a flashback to our episode with Trevor McFalls, who is offensive line coach at Snow College in Utah, Ephraim, Utah. But in the particular reel, he's actually evaluating a player in person going to their game. Right, he's talking about, hey, when I go to a game to evaluate a player, their high school game, he goes out of his way to get as close to them as possible to see how tall they are, to see how big they are, to see if they pass the open quote eye test, close quote. So the eye test is a big thing in college football, right? But he gets as close as he can to him on the side of the without talking to him, because technically they're not supposed to talk to him. But he'll get as close as he can just to measure him up, just to see, hey, does this guy have what it takes? Does he have the size, the build? But he also evaluates one other thing. He watches their composure. He watches their body language, their interaction with teammates, their interaction with referees. How do you respond, athlete, the one that he's evaluating, how do you respond when things aren't going your way? How do you react when a coach gives you constructive criticism? Are you taking away from the culture and are you taking away from the desired outcome? Or are you contributing to it? So I worked for a head coach that would assign culture keepers on the sideline. Guys that weren't likely to get playing time at that upcoming game, whether it be because of injury or just flat out because of ability, or like, hey, this guy's redshirting this year, whatever it was, he would find specific guys and he would task them with being culture keepers. And their task specifically as a culture keeper was to spread positivity, was to hype up their fellow teammates, was hyping up the crowd when opposing offense was on the field, and quieting the crowd when our offense was on the field. So when I heard Coach McFalls talk about that in the reel that I posted, this needs to be covered. Like, I knew, hey, this is a topic that needs to be talked about, because I don't think it's hit on the head. Other than the coaches that are trying to quiet all their players or keep them back off the sidelines, like, this isn't really openly talked about a whole lot. So we're going to take an episode and we're going to talk about it. And what we're talking about is sideline etiquette. Sideline etiquette, recruit grind edition. So first and foremost, the type. And let me say this before I dive into him fully. This is important because just like Coach McFalls said, he's looking for it when he's going to evaluate players. What is your sideline etiquette like? And I'm going to tell you one of the first things, among several things, but one of the first things that I'm looking for in sideline etiquette, and that is body language. What you are showing me speaks much louder than what you're saying. If you're moping up and down the sideline with a grumpy face because you aren't playing, or you're feeling bad for yourself, so you're just slouched, head hung over, those messages your body is sending can spread like a virus. A disease that kills the vibe of the entire sideline. So choose to spread positivity. Bring your teammates up. Have a contagiously uplifting attitude, as I like to call it. So another thing is an understanding of momentum. Okay. Games are full of momentum swings. And I 100% believe that momentum can be influenced by the sideline. And here's why. When I was working at Oregon State University, go Beavs. But when I was working there, we had our last game of the season against University of Oregon. So the Civil War was a big one. We hadn't had the most successful season. We only had won, I think, a couple games up to that point, if I remember correctly. And so this one was kind of a big one. But Oregon was having a bit of a rocky season. So going into that game, there was a lot of hype. So, hey, there might be a chance that this, you know, not so great team at Oregon State can beat Oregon coming in here on not their best season in the last decade or so. So our guys responded on the Oregon State sideline. They 100% responded. But there was a moment during the game in the fourth quarter when it started pouring rain. And if you follow Oregon State football at all in the last several years, you know specifically which game I'm talking about, held in Reser Stadium. And because the next season, Willie Taggart, who was the head coach at Oregon, made it a huge, huge deal. But that game specifically, it just started pouring rain. And it wasn't just like rain. It was freezing cold. It was cold, cold rain. And I remember when it started raining, there were a few plays that happened specifically. But beyond the plays was our guys' response to what was happening on the field and the rain, the response to the rain, I'll never forget. Our entire sideline was erupting, just dancing, jumping around like mosh pit almost style on our side, super hyped up. And if you looked across the field to Oregon sideline, there were guys sitting on the bench with coats, raincoats on, just trying to stay warm. And for all those that are at the game, if you took it for face value, what you saw between the two teams, there was no doubt that we wanted to be there and Oregon didn't. Like, we were hyped. Our entire sideline was hyped. And Oregon was under these raincoats. It was a big deal. Big, yeah. The whole raincoat thing became a big overplayed thing later on. But it was really evident that they didn't want to be there. So when that happened, when our guys were going crazy, the crowd got into it. The crowd was erupting. I know I never really heard it that loud at Reser ever before. And we ended up winning. we won that game. Brian Null was the running back at that time, and he was just going off on Oregon. Probably one of the best games of his career, if not the best game of his career. And I'll never forget that. But when I say momentum, like games are full of it. It always happens. Momentum swings are huge in games, but it can be influenced from the sideline. Like all that contagious momentum, like positive momentum, when that rain started falling, was huge for us in that game. Like our guys didn't choose to grab raincoats and go sit on the bench. They didn't choose to go stand around the heaters. They didn't choose to huddle up close to each other to, you know, rub against themselves to generate friction and heat. It was real energy and positivity that got pushed into a very worthwhile momentum, or, you know, crazy momentum in our favor. It was nuts. And you could feel it. I mean, as The Rock describes it, it was like mana, very much like mana for Polynesian culture, Hawaiian culture. You could feel the mana coming off of our sidelines. So when I say momentum, if you're that sideline guy, and again, I'm speaking to sideline guys in the sense of like, hey, if you're not playing, if you're not getting an opportunity, there's reasons why you're on the sideline. I kind of mentioned that before. Maybe you're just redshirting, whatever it is. You have very much an opportunity to influence that sideline in a positive way. So choose to be that guy that really gets hyped in the rain, that doesn't hide. But one other thing along with that momentum is gaining an edge, right? So I say along with that momentum, but really this is kind of its own thing. You have an opportunity to gain an edge for yourself, right? So when I say momentum, I mean more personal momentum. But when you're on the sideline, you should be watching your position. When the guy that's playing your position is out there doing his thing, and then he comes running off the sideline, you know, between series, tell him what you saw. Ask them why they made the decisions they made. And if they don't want to talk to you, right, because they're annoyed or they're frustrated or they're just super focused on the game, that's fine. You are still learning. You're getting an opportunity to get mental reps. And when that guy that's playing in front of you goes to sit in the position group huddle, you should be hovering over their shoulders. You should be trying to get into that huddle. You should be focused on what the coach is saying, how the coach is correcting what they did, how the player is communicating with the coach of what happened on the field. You should be a part of that conversation. 100% you should be a part of it. And I don't necessarily mean voicing your opinion unless you have something to bring that's of value, but you should be watching, you should be paying attention, and you should be learning based off of the reps that they're getting and you're getting to see. All right. But you're getting, when I say getting to see, you're getting an opportunity for those mental reps. And I know there's coaches at the high school level that talk about mental reps all the time. And we've talked about it in previous episodes before, but this is your opportunity to put yourself in the game mentally by seeing the person that's in your position do their thing, right? To see what's happening around them, and then visualize yourself in the position and react in your mind as you would based off of the knowledge that you have of the game. So it's a great opportunity. And I'm going to use a quote from good old Waterboy, but visualize an attack. Captain Insano shows no mercy here. Visualize and attack your position. You visualize it and attack it in your mind, it leads to a better opportunity of you being successful on the field when it's your turn. Now, here's another one, and yeah, take it how you want, honestly. But I've always been a big believer of servant leadership. So when you're on the sideline, you need to know your purpose. You need to know your purpose. And when I say, and why I bring up servant leadership, is because it's a team effort. And if the guy that's starting ahead of you gets off to the sideline, needs water, and the water girl or water guy is not around, you should be running to go get that dude some water. You should be bringing them a towel. You should go get them Gatorade. You should, whatever they need, if their buckle on their equipment broke, you should be going to get a new buckle for them. Like, take care of the player that's out there. Those are your brothers out there. They're battling for you. They're battling for the team. It's a team effort. And if you realize that and understand that, they're out there doing their thing. You're on the sideline. Do what you can. And what you can do is take care of your brothers when they're out there battling for you. So I just have to say this. I had some really, really good underclassmen when I was not only a senior, junior, senior in high school, but junior and senior year in college as well. But guys that got it, guys that understood it, guys that were there to help me. And when I got injured, I was there to help them. Like, that's successful teams that I've been on have that mentality 100%. I love seeing underclassmen looking out for vets. I love it. So the next one is more of an engagement opportunity. And we kind of talked about in the visualization and kind of watching your position. But deeper than that is be in the game. One of the most frustrating things as a coach is to look down the sideline and see your guys messing around, chit-chatting, playing around, joking, like all while you're down two touchdowns. That's the most frustrating thing ever. It's infuriating. But what's worse is when it's the guys that haven't even played it down. That's even more frustrating. I've seen coaches kick guys off the sideline and out of the game. And honestly speaking, rightfully so. Don't be out there taking away from the production on the field just because you don't get a play. It's distracting. It is selfish. And you shouldn't be out there if you're going to be that guy. So if you're a sideline guy, what you should do is watch and understand what is happening. What is the down and distance? What is the game situation? What do we need to accomplish as a team to win this game? You should be standing next to your position and your position group and or your position coach. And if you're lucky enough to have a position coach that trusts you because you're actually a guy that is trustworthy, meaning that you do everything you're supposed to be doing, you might even get a chance to help out with your position coach. There's several times when I was a player in college where if I wasn't playing, position coach would look over and say, what did you see? Or he'd say, hey, watch the left side of the line. I'm going to watch the right side. Or he'd say, you watch left side, you watch right side, because he's watching the whole thing. But he wants more feedback. He wants to ensure that we're all seeing the same thing. We're getting the mental reps I talked about earlier. But more importantly is we're engaged in the game. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, your coach trusts you, you might even get a chance to script it. And I didn't get a chance to do that until I was a graduate assistant, but that was eye-opening for me, an opportunity to actually script what was happening. I've seen offensive linemen do it before. Other players do it before for their position, but they would stand there with a clipboard, and every time a play was called, they would write down what the play was, and then the coach would say, okay, this happened or that happened on this play, and they would write down some quick notes on what happened on that play. And then when they'd all get off to the sideline, they would huddle up, and coach would say, okay, first we had this play, then we had this play. He basically grabbed that script that you were filling out, if you were the guy, hand it to you, and you would look at it, and he would then look at it, and be like, okay, this happened, this play. This is what we called. And they would talk through every single play on the sideline as a position group. You could be that guy. You could be that guy to help out your coach and your position group and the players on the field. I never realized how much was actually going on until I was able to actually script. Like what's being said on the headphones, which I have seen players with headphones listening. And it's extremely helpful. And long story short, Be in the game. Understand the situation. Understand what's being called, why it's being called. And if you don't know, it's a fantastic opportunity. Game-like, game scenario opportunity to learn it all. Next, there is a quote from a Roman philosopher, and his name is Seneca. I believe it's a him. But it's a quote that my old coach, Dave Baldwin, he was the offensive coordinator when I was playing. But he used to repeat this quote all the time, and it goes, luck is what happens when preparation meets opportunity. And I think later on, Zig Ziglar has his rendition of it when he says success occurs when opportunity meets preparation. Either way, football is a game of inches and opportunity. The trick is, you never know when you're going to need to gain an inch or prevent an inch, and you never know when your opportunity will come. But you always need to be ready. I've seen young guys get their shot because first string, second string, or even third string guys went down. And the more engaged you are on the sideline, the more prepared you'll be when opportunity knocks. And I'm going to share this example because it's an absolutely true example. So 2014, Utah State University, I was an offensive line graduate assistant. And we went through, let's see where we started. We had, by the end of the season, our fourth string quarterback. I had to close my eyes for a minute because I had to think of all the guys that went down. But our fourth string quarterback was starting for us by the bowl game. I think he played and started two or three games. And if you were to have asked him at the beginning of the season, hey, do you think you'll be playing or getting playing time this year? He would have told you, no, you're crazy. There's no way I'm getting playing time. And he 100% got playing time. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't have won out the final games we needed, and we would not have won the bowl game, which was at that time the New Mexico Bowl. And it was fantastic. So pretty cool stuff. But long story short, quick recap for everybody. If you aren't on the field, don't take away from what's happening on it. Contribute where you can. And so that everyone remembers, we're going to go through them all again. Body language, right? What you're showing me speaks louder than what you're saying. Momentum, games are full of it. You're either contributing to it from the sideline or you're taking away from that momentum. Gaining an edge, you can be getting yourself better, or you could be messing around and eventually get yourself kicked off the sideline. If you have a purpose, know your purpose on the sideline, which is to support your teammates around you and the ones, specifically the ones that are getting time on the field. Be in the game, understanding game situations, why we're making specific calls, and being in positions or situations where you can actually hear what's happening and understand what's happening during the game. And then last but not least, being ready. If you are ready all the time, you don't ever have to get ready. Okay, it's a very very proper way of saying that. But to use the actual quote that I used, is success occurs when opportunity meets preparation. Were you prepared when your name got called? Because that was your opportunity. And if you prepare for it, I promise you'll be successful. So all that said, know that I love you guys. Just hit 2,000 followers on Instagram, and I am deeply appreciative for that. If you listen and you aren't following us on social media, you should be, and I ask you to, please. One more little gentleman's agreement or gentle-ladies agreement, even though I'm not a lady, but you might be a lady listening. Whatever the situation is, do me a huge favor and share the podcast. Share your experiences things that you might have learned from it, opportunities or light bulbs that went off in your head. Share it. That means a lot to me. I'd be extremely appreciative of you taking the time to push the podcast out there to help out recruits, coaches, parents that are in the same situations as yourself. But I love you again. Naki out.